Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and I am all alone this week. Jasmine is moving. She's bought a house and moving into it, so she's not here. Also, it's Thanksgiving, so everybody else was kind of busy, and I didn't really want to ask too many people to give up part of their holiday week to be on a podcast with me, so I'm doing it all by myself. There are several things to talk about this week. We have one story about Governor Bevin getting in a fight with the artist behind The Walking Dead. We have a story about Wayne Lewis getting very upset with teachers over their emails. We have updates about Skokie, two big rulings from the Supreme Court of Kentucky. And lastly, we have some updates on some older stories that we've talked about in the past. So without any further ado, let's get started. Okay, so Governor Bevin has been in a fight with the artist behind The Walking Dead for a while. On the radio a couple weeks ago, he blamed video games, drugs, and phones as the true cause of violence in our society. He said that new laws aren't the solution to violence, but instead confronting the culture of death is how we will deal with the ongoing violence in our society. Of course, that didn't go over very well with the creator of America's favorite zombie stories. Artist Tony Moore is a Kentucky-born comic book artist, and he, along with Robert Kirkman, began the Walking Dead series about 15 years ago. So that's pretty cool. The guy that made The Walking Dead, the original comic book, is from Kentucky, and actually the original character from the comic books, and I'm not sure about the TV show, but at least the guy from the comic books is actually from Cynthiana, so that's kind of cool. After Bevin's comments, Moore penned a long blog post that lambasted the governor's comments. He took issue with blaming fictional stories, all the while attempting to cut Medicaid benefits and cutting union protections, which he said are items that literally lead to death, as opposed to, you know, zombies, which are not real. All of this is kind of silly, but for me, it helps reiterate that the governor rarely thinks before he speaks and doesn't really think about what his words do to other people. I just thought that was funny, and I thought we would lead off the show with that. Okay, Wayne Lewis, Kentucky's education commissioner, he spoke to reporters earlier this week about some emails that he'd received in response to his push for the legislature to take up charter school funding in the next session. The Courier-Journal published two of those emails, one of which was from a teacher from Meade County who used a gay slur to describe Lewis, and another criticized Lewis for the impact of his policies on children of color and used a term comparing Lewis to a slave driver. So in Lewis's words, quote, "We have no objections whatsoever to people disagreeing with us from emailing us, but when it steps over the line in that way, that these messages have, we're going to call that out, and we're going to say that that's completely inappropriate," unquote. This isn't the first time that Lewis has complained about his treatment by other members of the education system. Each time he does this, it's important to remember the context by which he arrived at this position of education commissioner. So Governor Bevin completely replaced the Board of Education, who then removed the former education commissioner before his contract had expired, and then installed Lewis in his stead. The type of comments made by these individuals, these teachers, are not appropriate, but I think what drives people to say stuff like this, in my opinion, is a sense of hopelessness to impact change. I mean, it seems that people are just kind of running roughshod over the system and over the rules, and when that happens, I think people don't feel like they have a say or a voice in the matter, and that forces above them are in control of their destiny in some kind of way. And it's been made pretty clear over the past couple of years that the executive branch of Kentucky's government cares very little about the opinions of teachers and educators and is willing to do whatever it needs to be done in order to push their charter-driven agenda forward. And I think that that really just causes people to lash out. And I hope in the future people can refrain from using inappropriate terms for Lewis, but I think if Lewis really was upset about these emails, his best course of action is to listen to teachers and give them a place in the policy-making process. Okay, the Supreme Court made two really big rulings, but one really big one is actually still yet to come. So by a 4-3 vote, the Supreme Court of Kentucky ruled that the right to work was constitutional. We've talked about the lawsuit involving Kentucky's right to work law, which was passed in 2017 a few times. The union started the lawsuit back in June of 2017, and Jasmine went over in detail the case unions were trying to make in the courts to overturn the right to work law. The case that the unions made was in four parts. So the first is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. They said the law was in violation of that. The next one is the Takings Clause of the Kentucky Constitution, not to be confused with the Takings Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The union said that the right to work law violated that. The third one is the idea that right to work was filed as emergency legislation, which they said that was not the case. And the fourth is the special legislation section of the Kentucky Constitution, which says that you can't make special laws for specific a small group of people. When this lawsuit was at a lower court, the Franklin Court dismissed the complaint, and the unions then appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court took a long look at all four items and voted 4-3 to uphold the right to work law. The opinion that they issued took a look at each of the items individually and explained why the case the unions made didn't hold up, and concluded that, quote, in this area of economic legislation, the legislature and the executive branch make the policy, not the courts, unquote. So for me, that's not a bad standard. With enough votes, Kentucky could overturn right to work in the legislature, which I think is probably the most appropriate place to have it done. So, you know, unions, let's get some people elected that will vote against right to work. That's the best way to get this done. In a unanimous opinion, Skokie struck down Kentucky's medical review panel law. The majority opinion honed in on Section 14 of Kentucky's Constitution, which it found that medical reviews panels violated. Section 14 is actually really short. It says, quote, all courts shall be open and every person for an injury done him in his lands, goods, person, or reputation shall have remedy by due course of law and right and justice administered without sale, denial, or delay. So a fun fact that was pointed out in the judicial opinion, this exact text verbatim has been in each version of Kentucky's Constitution. The opinion is actually pretty interesting because it goes into like the history and like the English reasoning that in the Magna Carta. It's kind of a crazy opinion because it goes into all that. But the Supreme Court said that, quote, medical review panels are an unacceptable deviation from the rights of every individual in society to access a system of justice to redress wrongs. Instead of affording claimants the ability to choose the process of redress they wish at the time that they wish to exercise it, this law forecloses all immediate access to any system of justice unless the other side agrees, unquote. The opinion voided the medical review panel in its entirety. So those are two really big opinions that we've been kind of on the lookout for a couple of years at this point. But the third one that everybody is kind of looking for is the pension law. And it is still undecided as of now. They will probably issue that opinion either this week or in the weeks to come. It'll probably come very soon. I'm recording this on a Monday. I expect to publish it on a Wednesday. What's likely going to happen is that in the time between today and Wednesday, they will issue that opinion and you will not know about it from our podcast. Okay, lastly, I wanted to talk about some older stories that we've talked about at length, but that have some updates to them. So we talked about the Kentucky State Fair Board. They made some changes to what was allowed to be sold in their venues at their meeting this week. This comes after Joe Girth in the Courier-Journal photographed KKK robes and Nazi memorabilia for sale at a gun show earlier this month. So there's pressure from a lot of UK basketball people. So Rex Chapman, who played, he's actually been on the podcast, but he played for Kentucky back in the 90s and I think part of the 80s. Mike Pratt, who does the play-by-play announcing, Megan Calipari, John Calipari's daughter, and Billy Reed. He's not a UK guy, but he's been involved in Kentucky sports for a really long time. So these people, among others, put pressure on the Fair Board. And the Fair Board decided to fully outlaw all KKK merchandise. And really most Nazi stuff, but also they made a small exception for historical Nazi items. And that kind of made me feel a little nervous, but they made very clear that they're going to rely on the Ohio Valley Military Society to help police that policy. So if somebody has some Nazi stuff and they're like, oh, it's historical, they're going to bring in this group and they're going to be like, yeah, it is, or no, it isn't. So they did kind of explain how they're going to enforce that, which did give me a little bit of comfort that this was actually going to be something that enforced. So that's great. I think that that's great news, and I'm really glad that the Kentucky State Fair Board did that. Another thing we talked about was re-canvasses. So we talked about how there were some really, really close elections back in the beginning of the month. There were six re-canvasses of legislative elections. None of the six showed any changes to the votes. And that includes the 13th House District, which was decided by a single vote. So one thing to remember is that re-canvass doesn't necessarily mean recount. If a vote is very, very close, you get a re-canvass for free, but you have to pay for a recount. So I don't know if anybody has requested a recount or if anybody has paid for one and one, if any will be done, but the votes are scheduled to be certified at 10 a.m. on November 20th, which is between when this podcast records and when it's planned to be posted. So that might already have happened by the time you listen to this. Lastly, the GOP Senate leadership elections have happened, and one contested election was actually won by a challenger. So Julie Rackey Adams, the senator from Louisville, will replace Dan Syme, a different senator from Louisville, as the majority caucus chair. Senator Damon Thayer will stay on as Majority Floor Leader, Mike Wilson will remain as Majority Whip, and David Givens is going to return to his post as President Pro Tem. So all the other expected results occurred. Next up for the Majority Caucus is to fill two committee vacancies. So Senator Rackey Adams, she chaired the Health and Welfare Committee, and the State and Local Government, which was chaired by Senator Joe Bowen, he retired. That also has to be filled as well. So congratulations to Senator Julie Rackey Adams for winning a contested election. You know, I've heard some people that work in kind of the healthcare industry that were kind of lamenting the fact that she's not going to be chair there next year. So we will definitely keep a good eye on who is elevated to that spot. Okay, so lastly, you know, we are part of the Forward Kentucky Network, and I wanted to point out that one piece that they have up on their website, Neil Turpin, who I've known for a long time, really good guy, he does some policy analysis for Forward Kentucky. He wrote about how progressive policies have won in elections despite being blocked in legislators across the country. In many cases, even outpacing progressive people that are running for office, they don't tend to do as well as progressive policies when they're actually put on the ballot. So he wrote a really cool thing about that. I encourage you to check that out. Okay, if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can do so via Twitter at MyOldKYPod or Facebook, My Old Kentucky Podcast. We also have a newsletter, which you can find at tinyletter.com/MyOldKentuckyNewsletter. For now, we might be switching that soon. We also have a Patreon, which you can subscribe to for at minimum $1 a month. If you just go to patreon.com and search for My Old Kentucky Podcast, you can find us on there. Please get in touch with us in any of those forms or fashions. We would love to hear from you. And also, thank you so much to all of our Patreon supporters. We couldn't do this without you, and we really do appreciate all that you give to us. Thank you very much. I hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you guys next week.